Surah Al-Falaq. Falaq, they use it in Saudi Arabia. You can check it out, inshallah. Because I guess it comes from the breaking, right? So it's called a falaq because it breaks the kids. You know, obviously because it's a stick and stuff. If they're in a Quran school, they go like, Jib al-Falaq, right? Get the falaq. And here, this is like when the sun comes up, the daybreak, when it breaks the night into the morning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a spell put on him. And it was a Jew, and this Jew had taken a rope and tied 11 knots in the rope and made a spell against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was basically that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would think that he had come to his wives, but he hadn't, meaning that impotency. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these two surahs were revealed. And if you know Surah Al-Falaq, which is 5 ayat, and Surah An-Nas is 6 ayat, which is 11 ayat altogether, they were revealed together. And the rope that was written was, there was 11 knots tied in it. And so he felt, the effects of the spell until the angels came to him and told him where this rope was. So he sent Ali radiallahu anhu. He picked them, and as they recited the verses, which with each ayah, the knot would be untied. This is the background of Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد.
Surah Al-Falaq, it teaches a person to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn back to the protection of Allah azza wa jalla.
قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ.
Say, and when you see the word أَعُوذُ, means to seek protection. If someone, for example, you may not have it in the US so much, or at least in Virginia, but in Canada, a lot of people travel by bus. Okay, and because of the weather conditions, right, it's very cold, or it'll be raining, the bus stops are, they always have shelters there. Always, at every bus stop there's a shelter. And some of those shelters actually have heated, you know, they have either, they actually have heat in them. So you can go inside and all the windows are foggy and so on. And so when we tell people in Canada that A'udhu means to go and seek shelter. So if it's raining or it's snowing and there's a bus shelter there and you run into the bus shelter, and in Canada everybody agrees, they understand this, that this is to do isti'adha. This isti'adha is to seek protection. So when a person says, A'udhu billahi minashaytanir rajim, that I'm seeking protection, almost as if you're outside and you're being affected by what's happening, until you say, A'udhu billah, that shelter is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, from the shaytan, the outcast. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us how to make dua. Is teaching us, qul, say. And this is revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's a lesson for us on what to do. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Say, I seek protection, I seek the refuge of the Lord of the daybreak. And why is it that, you know, when the night comes, that people get scared? And the reason for that is, and if you know New York, I don't know, I guess Washington DC also, after a certain time of the night, everybody goes home. And a different creation of humans comes out. Right? The night people. The people who take over those streets after that. And even if someone's involved in, you know, taxis and whatnot, they know that I only work from this time until like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and then I go home. Because it's a different group of people that come out in the night. And the daybreak is actually, after all that evil, the daybreak comes over, comes after the night, al-falaq, and this is the Lord of the falaq. The one who took that nightness and made it into the morning. And so the same way someone may have a spell, or may have effects of shaitan upon them, it's the same Lord that brings the morning after the night, can bring health after the sickness. The word falaq also They'll say, it means daybreak. They'll say, in the Arabic, as a statement they would mention, هُوَ أَبْيَنُ مِنْ فَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ, which means that it's more clear than the daybreak of the morning. Because of, after all the darkness of the night, they'll say that this issue would be more clear than this daybreak. They'll also say, فَلَقَتِ الشَّيْءِ, meaning that if something breaks, they'll say فَلَقَتْ, that it broke open. And it's almost like metaphorical for the ease after the hardship, or the good news after a sadness had befallen someone. And if this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can take the night and crack it open with the morning light, a person has to reflect on the power of this Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He's possible to do more than this subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in our simple lives, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can allow the sun to come up every morning in our lives, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to heal us after our sicknesses. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقُ. From what? From the evil of creations, from what He has created. And in fact, when something's created, it has the ability to do good or it has the ability to do bad. If you have, for example, a gun or something like that, it can either be used for good or it can be used for bad, a sword or whatnot. And a human being, through their intelligence, they can have the ability to do good or the ability to do bad. The same hand that can give sadaqah can also steal money. And so the dua here is, مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ, from the evil of these creations, that, O Allah, protect us from the evil of these creations. Protect us from. If you'll notice, the next four verses, 2, 3, 4, and 5, they're مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ, وَمِنْ, وَمِنْ, وَمِنْ. They're all, and from, and from, and from. So after saying, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ, then you're asking for protection from the following things. Number one is from the evil of the things that are created. Number two is, وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. The غَاسِق is the night at its most intense darkness. The night at its most intense darkness. And they also say the غَاسِق is like the night as it begins, and its intense darkness. It's almost a way of مِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. The وَقَبْ is when it enters with that darkness. Almost, and the wukub is to enter. It's almost as if the person makes dua from the beginning of the darkness till the end. The entire night and the entire evil. O Allah, protect us from the beginning to the end. مِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. From the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we learn that he instructed certain things regarding the night. The Prophet ﷺ instructed that we should close our doors. So if a person, and I know we close it anyway because we live in DC, but if you lived out in the villages and whatnot, some people may feel that they can just leave the door open. But it's actually the sunnah of Al-Mustafa ﷺ that the person should close their doors. To close their doors, to gather in the children. So when the night time comes, you see, you know, even as the sun's setting, even amongst the non-Muslims, they'll tell their kids, look, the sun's going down, come back in. This is actually the sunnah, is that a person shouldn't allow their children to play out when the night comes. So if their kids swing on a swing set somewhere, and it's coming dark, they should bring them in. To gather the children, the Prophet ﷺ also taught us to cover our vessels. Like you see, for example, I guess there was a pitcher of water here. It wouldn't be correct to leave and then not cover that pitcher of water. Or if someone has a bucket of, say, margarine or butter or something like that, they should cover it up when they go to sleep, whether it's food or water. Their food vessels or their drinking vessels, they should cover it up. مِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَمْ, from the evil of the night. And the night, obviously, a person may have, you know, intentions to do evil, and they wait for the night to come, because it covers them and it covers the evil that they're doing. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that evil, from the beginning of the darkness to the end. وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. مِنْ شَرِّ, شَرْ is the evil of. النَّفَّاثَاتِ is, نَفْ is to blow. نَفَّاثَاتِ is like the excessive blowing. نَفَّاثَاتِ, the reason that it has the شَدَّدَيْقِ is the meaning of excessively. And it's basically like black magic. نَفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. عُقَدْ are the knots. And that's نَفَّاثَاتِ, there's another word actually that's called in Arabic tafl, which is to spit, and it's different than nafath. This is blowing almost like dry spittle. Nafth. My aunt actually, and she passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive her. She had once asked me in Medina, she came and visited from Egypt, and she said, how can someone get a good mark on their exam? We have a lot of students here and they want to know. And I know from my relatives in Egypt that some of them don't pray. And so I basically went on to tell her, like, look, even if he passes in the dunya, if he doesn't pray, he's going to fail in the hereafter. And so, forget the exams, and we're like, being so concerned with the exam, we should be concerned with our salah and being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then she said, well, you know, someone told me that I should tie some knots, and as I untie them, I should blow on them and ask Allah to help my son on his exams. And the horror that I felt, I said, what kind of devil has been talking to you? Right? That she would tell you that this is the way to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, you know, mercy. This is actually the way of black magic. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't go into detail of it, so it's not detailed on how to do it. And a Muslim shouldn't like, oh, how do you do the black magic? And so on. Because it doesn't work until someone commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they basically that idea of selling your soul to the devil, that's what happens before this can take effect. The person has to sell their soul, and it's not that they have awesome power, the devils then control that human being. So they terrorize that human who's sought the help of the devils. So they themselves are being punished in this life, even before the hereafter. There is a story that one brother is telling me about how, and this is overseas, they had a maid that, you know, was into black magic, and the maid had sent, you know, she wanted to put a spell on the woman of the household. And before she mailed off the letter, she had put some hairs of the lady in this envelope. And in the envelope, she was sending it back to her. She was delegating the task of the black magic to people in her country where they would do the spell on the woman. So she found the envelope and she switched hairs. Right? She took, you know, the comb of the lady who was going to send it and put her hairs in the envelope. Closed it up and they sent it off. And then she said that she watched as like she was losing all her hair. That maid who had planned to do that. And so a person may think, oh, I'm going to be able to break up between these people or something like that. Some petty thing. But in fact, their destruction comes in the dunya before it comes in the hereafter. We also learn from this surah. We're going to talk about the Hasan right now. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never approached the Jew that had done this to him. But he sought protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he didn't put that Jew on trial, and he didn't seek him out, even though he knew his exact name and who had done it. But he sought protection in Allah azza wa jal. And in his death pain, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, he used to recite this. And then wipe his hands over his body, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was dying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha would recite the surahs, and then blow in the hands of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then wipe him with his own body. And she would say, and these are authentic hadith, she would say that his hands were more blessed than my hands, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In verse 5, Allah subhanahu wa taala says, "Wamin sharri hasidin idha hasad," and from the evil of the envier when he envies. And hasad is the envy, and I'm sure you've heard it before. Hasad is to hope for the blessing to end upon someone else. Meaning that someone sees someone with a fancy new car, and they have this new blessing, and they want that to end. They don't want them to continue, so they'll say to themselves, oh, I wish he would get into a car accident, because I don't like that he has this thing. And that is hasad. And that could either be a blessing of the dunya, like I said, such as a person getting a new car, or it could be a blessing of the deen. So for example, someone may have memorized, and I think some people say like, no, it's okay to have hasan in Quran and money, but what kind of hasan? Because someone they wouldn't say to imam who's memorized the Quran, oh, I wish you would forget all your Quran. And then they say, what are you saying? They go, no, I'm allowed to have hasan. in Quran. That's not what's meant by the hasad. The hasad in those cases of Quran and wealth that's spent for the sake of Allah is that you wish for the same thing for yourself. You wish for the same thing for yourself, basically, that if you had what they had, that you would do what they are doing with what they have. That is the good hasad in these things. And actually, when I would be teaching in Quran class, and some people have their children in my Quran class, I would create hasad amongst the kids. Right? I would literally go to one child and say, "Didn't you know that this boy memorized more Quran than you?" Right? And then, and Quran class especially, if you create, you know, that good hasad, that good jealousy, you'll have them competing to memorize more, which is a good thing. And this is, you know, of the good jealousy. Not that he wants him to forget those surahs, but he wishes that he could memorize faster and more than that other person. And you'll see when someone's memorizing on their own, without people around them, a lot of times they're not doing their duty. So if a parent, for example, has a child at home and they got like a tutor coming in, the tutor may have a very hard time helping the person read. But if you get two or three children together and then they start competing with one another, then you have more of a chance, inshaAllah, to make them more successful in the memorization. And even when a person does this, has hasad, it's an action of the heart of which the person will be taken to account for. So it's a sin. And it's a very serious sin. The Prophet ﷺ said that the hasad eats away good deeds like fire eats away wood. Like fire eats away wood. So a person will harbor these feelings in their heart and they're amassing sin upon sin upon sin for doing this and allowing the feelings to continue with them. And so a person may ask, well, what if, and it may be a natural feeling that someone feels, if you have this in your heart, what should you do? You should say, "Ma sha Allah, tabarakallah." Ma sha, sha is like willed. If you see something, someone got a new car, you say, "This is what Allah willed. This is what Allah wanted. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tabarakallah, may Allah bless you in what you have. Ma sha Allah, tabarakallah." And one should be really careful too, to not look at the dunya things. And as Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, if you see someone racing with you in the dunya, like they're trying to get a better car and trying to get a better house than you, so race with them in the hereafter. Meaning if they got a bigger car and a bigger house, then you go to the masjid more often than they do. And make sure that you're giving more zakah and you're doing more voluntary prayers and so on. And you'll be the winner in the end. And they say that, and just from the history of the hasad, the first sin to be disobeyed, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be disobeyed with, was hasad. When Iblis, alayhi la'anatullah, he said, "Ana khayrun min." He said, "Why should I prostrate to Adam? I'm better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين." That you created me from fire and you created him from dirt. And so that was his jealousy, which led him, you know, that was the beginning of shaitan. And we also see from the children of Adam, Qabil and Habil, was hasad. But one of them had a prettier wife and he wanted to marry her. And then, you know, they slaughtered a sheep, both of them. They said, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from, that will be the person who gets to marry this woman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted from one of them. A fire came down, burnt the animal, and that was the way that it would be, or the sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted it. And so when his brother came to kill him, he said, "Innama yataqabbalu Allah min al-muttaqin." He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from those who feared him. And we spoke about that yesterday. And then he went on to kill him because of his jealousy that he had something that, or that his brother had something that he didn't have. And of the interesting hasad, as our teacher would say, min akhbath, like of the most evilest kind, is a person doing hasad to themselves. Doing hasad to himself. The example of that is in Surah Al-Kahf, of the person who owned the garden. When the believer told him, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. And if only when you entered your garden, you said, "مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ." And this is his own garden, but he was so proud of himself for what he had, that it led to the destruction of what he had. So a person, for example, may have may have a fancy car or whatnot, and they're so proud of it, it could lead to the destruction of that thing. If they don't, you know, say MashaAllah and realize that this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that by him in whose hand is my life or my soul, that you will not enter Jannah until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another, which is the opposite of this jealousy. Shall I not inform you of something which if you do, you will love one another? Afshu salam bainakum. Spread salam amongst yourselves. Say assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. There's actually an old man in Medina in Masjid Nabawi, and he spent the whole day in Masjid Nabawi just saying assalamu alaikum to everybody. Like literally he would go in the entire masjid, anybody he saw, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. He had the biggest smile, and some people, you know, they'd come in with their son or whatnot, and they're, you know, they got a frown on, where's the Prophet's grave, and so on. And then this guy would just confront them, and they'd think, oh, he's about to beg or something like that. But he just wants to say assalamu alaikum. And you'd see like, at first they may have a reaction, but then they also will, you know, that smile will come on their face. And this is how love is spread amongst the Muslim, and it's something that we've left behind, which is also from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to say assalamu alaikum to those who we know and those who we don't know. Concluding this surah, inshallah, some people say that, or they reject that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had magic put on him. The hadith, however, is authentic. It's in Sahih al-Bukhari, so we're not questioning the authenticity of it. And the people, when they put their intelligence above the authenticity of the hadith, that's when it becomes a problem. Because most likely it's something wrong with their intelligence, and not wrong with the Quran or authentic sunnah. And so the ulama mentioned that this is just an example that the Prophet ﷺ was a human being. And that he would get sick like anybody else would get sick. And if someone did this magic spell upon him, it affected him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was our example, and we saw how he combated that sihr that was put on him. And actually a lot of people, you know, when they're complaining about this and that, they always think, oh, there must be a devil, and someone must have done sihr on me. And it's very popular. And in fact, the first thing that we would reply, if someone says that I have sihr upon me, we'd say like, look, do you pray 5 times a day? You know, and then when they realize like, no, actually, we don't really pray. And they're always quick to jump that, oh, it's a devil that's put on. But actually, when someone distances themselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is protecting them? If they're not seeking the protection of Allah azza wa jalla. And people think that no harm will come to them if they don't practice Islam. Indeed, all harm will come in this dunya and in the hereafter. Will come upon them. For distancing themselves, it's only a matter of time. It's only an issue of time. But the harm will come. And that's where sayyi'ah comes from evil. It means a sin. But because it does evil to the person who commits it. It will harm the person who accumulates those sayyi'ah. Allah Ta'ala alam.